This is Annuity Straight Talk. Since 2008, your host, Brian Anderson, has helped clients nationwide navigate the complex market for annuities. With Brian's assistance, hundreds of clients have achieved a profitable and secure retirement. I would know, because Brian has answered many of my questions concerning annuities and retirement planning. So that you can benefit as well, let's get started. Here's Brian.
Hello and welcome everyone to the Annuity Straight Talk podcast, episode number 68, the second to the last one of the year. My name is Brian Anderson, coming to you from Northwest Montana. Look in the background, we've got snow, so it is, well, not technically winter, but we've had winter already. Getting excited for it, so we'll do one this weekend that you guys are going to get. Going to skip Christmas, and then we'll do one right before New Year's, just kind of get you guys set up for what we plan to bring you next year. Nobody reads the newsletters or watches podcasts on Christmas anyway. A couple people, some of the diehards, and I thank you for being a diehard, but I thought it'd be a good time to look at this. I do have some new content planned out that I thought would be a good thing to start. I think I talked about it in one of the last episodes, kind of a three-part series on technical parts of annuities, make it easily digestible so people kind of understand the product and kind of understand, like learn a little bit more of what you would be getting into if you used one, and good refresher for some of the people who already have them as well. But so right now I want to look back at this year, and it's been a great year, and I appreciate everybody's continued participation in this. I want to say thank you, especially to, you know, those people who trust me with some of their retirement savings, and honestly, everybody that continues to watch this, read the newsletters, all that stuff. This is a consumer-driven production. All of the content comes from your questions, your case studies, your situations, your concerns, and I could not do it without you. Now, some of the stuff is things that I created and I thought of over time, but the evolution of thought is what is truly important to keeping this creative and on the edge, and really making it a valuable resource for people in retirement. And so I'm going to share my screen. We're going to go to the podcast page. We're also going to use the S&P 500 for the year because we talked about that a fair bit. So that is the one-year chart of the S&P 500 as of today, which is the 11th of December. So beautiful weekend here. Just getting a lot of stuff done around the house. I'm going to cook a steak and watch Sunday Night Football. The Dolphins are playing tonight. Woo! Can't wait. You're looking tough this year. So podcasts, I'm going to start back at the very beginning. A year ago today, the market was approaching its all-time high, and a lot of people were like, well, hey, what should I do? Not everybody jumped out of it. The rates were still really low a year ago, and people were concerned about it. It hit the high on January 2nd this year. So in December, people were kind of looking at it, and a lot of people hung around. Analysts were split. So the first one we did on the 13th of January right here is a market correction coming, okay? So John Ballmer was with us on that one to talk about what he uses as indicators to attempt to pick timing in the market and all that stuff. I thought those were really valuable. We got a lot of really good feedback from those. But again, that came after it kind of started to taper off a little bit. But that was the very first episode last year. We wanted to talk about what was forefront of most people's minds. And then I'm not going to go through every single one of these. I picked the ones that I think were pretty important. Then let's see, a couple weeks later, we did inflation without interest rates. This is important for everybody to understand. Now, a year ago, very early this year, you know, inflation numbers came out. Everybody's like, I bonds are great, but you only put $10,000 a year into them. And everybody was concerned. It's like, well, inflation's 9%, but I can't get interest rates. This is a gentle reminder to everyone that inflation doesn't drive consumer interest rates where you get it. There's so many different factors involved in this, you know, supply and demand, market sentiment. When people are bullish on the market, rates tend to rise. When they're seeking safe havens, everybody wants to put their money in there. So banks, bond issuers, insurance companies, you know, if everybody wants to get out of the market, they obviously have to pay them less to do it. And so you see rates come down as well. So keep an eye on that. Everybody wants to focus on the Fed right now. Oh, the Fed's going to move next. Not one time has the Fed raised interest rates and it actually created increase in consumer rates. Again, the Fed sets the rates at which they lend to member banks. Okay. Not, they don't set annuity rates, they don't set CD rates, they don't set mortgage rates. Mortgage rates are a function of that because the banks are charged more for the money they borrow from the Fed. They're going to have to charge more to make their spreads. But you want to talk about inflation and interest rates, two very different things. And unfortunately, you don't always have interest rates that will beat inflation. Now, we got good interest rates now. And if inflation does taper off, if the Fed is successful and tamps that down, then people that locked into these rates might have something that's beaten inflation in a couple of years. But the biggest thing with inflation is, like, we got supply chain issues, I think, and this is my opinion, and people are still spending money. So that's kind of one of the reasons to do it. Anyway, but it kind of makes people feel lost at times. They don't necessarily know how to, like, if you're looking for save money, yeah, I really want to protect something, but they don't have very good interest rates, and you're looking at inflation numbers that devalue your dollar over time, then it's kind of one of those things. It's like, I don't really know what to do because I don't want to lock into a rate that's not beating inflation. And nothing beat inflation this year. Now, some bonds did, but not every bond. And that's why I gave you, let's see, on February 5th, I did how to beat the market with an annuity. Interesting idea, quickly. It's about using a free withdrawal with an annuity to protect a set of money and then taking a free withdrawal, buying incrementally into the market. Dollar cost averaging is the reason why the majority of you have done well in the stock market. It has less to do with investment expertise. No knock on you individually or your advisor or whoever helped you out. Most of you guys didn't do much but put money into a 401k, so you didn't have a whole lot of choice. But dollar cost averaging got you there. With a portion of your money, you can beat the market with an annuity in several different time periods, but that's a really good one to look at. And that was, again, just an alternative for people. Hey, I don't want to lock in. Well, you're not locked into an annuity. You can average out of it back into the market, but you're protecting that larger block of money. And it's a really good example of how protecting the money and maybe not exposing yourself to so much risk is actually really good. Just a quick side note here. The reason I'm showing you the podcast page is to give you an idea. If this is for people who may want to go back and relook at some things, or for anybody who's new who didn't see all of these things, I like to remind, I have meetings all the time, and some people will come in, they'll ask three or four questions, and I'm thinking, man, I have a podcast that answers that perfectly. Met with one really great lady last week, and she was just the same thing. And of course, it was beneficial. I actually explained a lot of the principles to her, and I said, if you want more, I'll send you links to these podcasts. So this is just an idea. And you can also use this search bar. So in the newsletter, I'm writing a newsletter with this. It's going to have the titles of all these and links to the podcast page. You can do the same thing on the newsletter page. And that's just simply you scroll up and it's annuity newsletter. Now, once I do this one and the next one, that will be 44 podcasts this year. Most, but not all of them, have a newsletter to accompany them. So if you want to read the newsletter, some people like to read it, some people like to watch it, others listen to it. And some people just like to unsubscribe because this is not their thing. And that's okay too. But just an idea, that's kind of how it works. Really simple, but you can search for these topics. You can go by keyword, or you can type in the full title, or you can just scroll through the pages and find one you think that would work. So trying to point these out just as a reminder to people and kind of talk about all the ground that we've covered. So I'm on page 4, as you can see right there, page 4 of the podcast page. And I'm going back to 3 because we're going starting back in. And I'm not doing all of these. There's a lot of really good ones. And let's see. So again, when we're talking about alternatives with the market and trying to protect assets, you know, somebody that got out of the market earlier this year would have done a really, really good job. That doesn't mean they had to buy an annuity, but people that went to cash, you know, and John Ballmer talked about this a lot. He was having people raise cash in their portfolios even late last year, just because something had to give. The trends were changing, and those are the things that he talks about. If you're interested in the charts and how he analyzes that, those would be a really good one to watch. So, and again, one thing I wanted to show in why not an annuity, I'd ran some numbers on a guy who didn't want any risk. He was well past the age where he should have everything in the market. I'll leave it at that if you want to look at it. It's a pretty good example. I use my spreadsheet to add different amounts of annuity into his portfolio to see what his growth would have been like and how it compared to what he has today. And I proved that, I think in his situation, it was about 20%, maybe 25% of his assets should be in an annuity. And if he had done that, he would actually have more money today than he did anyway. So unfortunately, he waited a little too long, and maybe the market will get back to where he can comfortably come around and do it again. But prove to him that there's no reason why he shouldn't have an annuity, because just protecting assets eliminated enough volatility that he still eclipsed the amount he already had. So that is really interesting, and I think a valuable one people look at. Why not an annuity? That came out on February 26th, 2022. I mean, I look at this stuff and it's like, I did a ton of work. Another quick note for you guys is this time of year. So this is going to come out to the newsletter list on December 17th. It'll be released on YouTube on the 15th. Don't feel bad about calling me this time of year. It's a pretty quiet time of year. If you want to have a chat, you want to talk, I have lots and lots of time. I'm in the office because I'm typically getting things ready and getting a game plan for next year. So don't feel bad. Call me. If you want to have a meaningful conversation, this is a really good time of year to do it and kick some ideas back and forth. So feel free to reach out, 800-438-5121. Those who know my cell phone directly, you just call the cell phone or you can send me a text. You can email me, whatever works, right? One I want to highlight here is like throughout this year, we've had, like any other year, a lot of distractions. And so this podcast came out, number 33. I did that on March 11th. And kind of talk, it was specifically about the war in Ukraine and talking about how distractions get people so fired up. And I think a lot of times the objective is to take eye off the ball by dividing the country. And more recently, I think last week, you had the Russian prisoner swap. I don't want to get into it too much. And it's another one of those things where I really think that's just a distraction. And when you talk about the market freaked out when the Ukraine was invaded and all that stuff. And again, the point being that if you're prepared and ready for things, then you don't have to worry about that stuff. And so don't join in, you know, part of that war is a racket. I talked about a book you can see in the photo there. I'm holding it. It's a good one. I got a comment from a few people that went out and bought it, thought it was great. A few people that had already read it and liked it. Anyway, so the point is to be prepared so that those things don't affect you. And then that's, I think that mindset really works toward more of a social solution. I think love and cooperation is a better deal than fighting. I mean, when's the last time you convinced somebody in a political argument, you convince them they're wrong? It's pointless. It's a waste of time. So that's kind of what the point I wanted to get across in War is a Racket. And I thought that was one of the best ones of the year, to be honest with you. So let's see, not doing all of these things. Okay, so this one was, I think in this podcast, I talked about the best annuity training possible. And I had fun with this one because it was just flip the camera on and tell a story about my life. I had a couple of clients that I ran this by. What if I just told some stories? And I really do think my days of guiding fishing trips in Alaska was the best annuity training possible. I didn't know it. I wasn't planning on being an annuity salesman. Even when I started in this business, I wasn't saying, oh, I'm just going to sell annuities. But I spent hundreds and hundreds of days with guys that are in their 60s, 70s, who have money and like to fish. I picked up tons of business conversations, learned how to keep a conversation going. I've got lots of friends in that age bracket now. I've got buddies my age, but the point of that was to kind of talk about where, because a lot of people, why do you sell annuities? Well, when I got into the business, I just realized, and I couldn't put this into words until just a few years ago, but I realized that I gravitated toward those business conversations and that level of knowledge that was present with the guys that I went fishing with in Alaska. And I think that was a really valuable time in my life because, and of course, I got a lot of good stories that are fairly entertaining. Maybe I should do a story. Maybe I should do a podcast about bears. If I can figure out how to tie that into annuities, man, I promise you, I will tell you. So the next one I'm going to highlight in John Balmer's just because it's a move away from annuity specific stuff, because my philosophy is that annuities and market investments are both important. I'm not one or the other. And a lot of people you talk to out there, other advisors are going to be one or the other. And it's honestly more prevalent than it should be. So I like to have a different perspective. So we did the market crash is here. This is after some hiccups in the market. So that was May 13th. Where were we in May? And so that was May 6th. Yeah. That's when we finally went. The previous probably 6 weeks, we had been down about 20%. So that was tagging the market crash. John made a bold prediction in that one that didn't come to fruition for quite a little while, but that's where we were in May. All right. This one is goes back to, I think, what is it? May 27th. So the market crash was May 13th. So 2 weeks later, I wrote annuity questions. This one was a really good one. I had a guy who's been on the list for a few years. I've actually met him in person twice now. And that talk speaks to a timing of decisions and whatnot. Really, really, really nice people. I like them a lot. Finally got around to doing business. It was great timing for him because he had to do it when rates were coming up. I should have like talked through this about how more rates. So back in May, that's when we were really seeing the boost in rates coming around. A lot of rate shoppers out there. I don't want to focus on that right now, but you guys all know I don't like it. So anyway, this guy wrote me a long email after I kind of gave him my proposal and my reasonings why. And he wrote a long email with 12 or 13 questions in it. And this is when I should look at the newsletter. So there's a good newsletter that goes through it's the email I wrote back to him, right? He said, I hate to be a pain. Anybody who ends up doing business, run me through whatever you want. I don't like to do a bunch of legwork for the tire kickers who have no intention of compensating me for it. I do work for free for everyone, but there's a limit to what I'm going to spend time doing. Because I got ad cost money to get this podcast out. If you like it, understand that it's not free for me to do. It takes time. I'm sitting here on a Sunday for crying out loud. I can't say there's anything else I'd rather be doing. I like doing this, but realize that this is a business and I am trying to make money doing it. If I'm not making money, then it's not going to happen. So anyway, but he asked a lot of questions and I said, I'm going to do you one better. I will answer your questions. It's going to be a newsletter. I'm going to do a podcast. It was super easy because I basically just had to go to the questions one by one. He talked about surrender schedules, required minimum distributions, taxation, annuity maturity dates, little things like that. And that's kind of a piece of what I'm going to talk to about the three-part series beginning of the year. But that's a really good one for, it's like kind of a pre-buyer question. If you're ready to go and you think, what questions should I be asking? A lot of people say that. What questions should I be asking? This is a great podcast or newsletter to read. Again, search box, just type in annuity questions, take you right to it. Okay. And that was, I had fun with that one. It was super simple and we got some business out of it and took care of a really nice couple. They've got a son that lives out in Montana. They visit every year. So I'm going to get to see them pretty frequently. Let's see, how mules are like annuities. One of my favorites anyway, but I'm not going to focus on that one right now. Just because I like talking about the subject. Those mules are amazing. Safe Money Radio. Again, you think about the competition that is present in this business, and people from Florida know it better than anything else. It seems like every one out of every four people has a license to sell insurance products or securities. I talked to somebody last week. They said, man, there's a lot of people that do this down here. It's hard to understand. I'm trying to be as fair as possible. I'm trying to be as factual as possible. I will give you my opinion, then a justification for why that's my opinion. One of the big topics right now is Safe Money Radio. It's a big marketing organization. They're a third party that gets a commission for annuity sales, and they sponsor all these different guys across country do Safe Money Radio. And the funny thing about that, I think it was one of my previous guests. I don't know if I can say his name, but in the notes of the, you scroll down and read what the producer writes and all that stuff. And it said, oh, this guy was a former host of Safe Money Radio in Seattle. And then he got a cease and desist letter. You got to take it off. Well, I never had anything to do with Safe Money Radio, so I will say whatever I want about him. And I decided to, it's very aggressive sales practice, sales tactics. So anyway, if you've heard of Safe Money Radio, you've been around it, then that's a good one to listen to. So moving right along, and you get an idea of what's out there. So on June 24th, index annuities are better than. This is an interesting one. And the reason I say this is because back in the early parts of this website, I was a fixed annuity guy. I didn't want the complexity of the variable annuities or the index annuities. I didn't trust them. I wish I had. A lot of people that bought them back then did really well. I've seen seasoned contracts 10, 12, 15 years old. I was like, man, you know, in a lot of ways, I missed the boat on that. And so I decided, you know, I'm going to be a little bit more open-minded. I suggest you do as well. But when fixed annuity rates came up, a lot of people said, you know what? And this is a lot of past visitors to the website from years past. They didn't really like all the moving parts of an index annuity. And so they came back and said, I'm comfortable. And a lot of people in their 70s, I'm comfortable with this fixed annuity. Let's just do that. So multi-year guaranteed contracts. So I decided to, what people, you know, need to understand is like those fixed annuity rates come up at the same time those index and the potential of an index annuity comes up as well. So it was important to remind people that if you have an appetite for, it's a risk of gain, it's not a risk of principal. And so I say the fixed annuities are really great if you're just happy with that rate and that's all you ever want to get. They're wonderfully boring. You just get it. It's guaranteed. It's as safe as you can get for money. Index annuities are just as safe. But if you want to take a shot and say, hey, I kind of like to beat that. Index annuities were built to be better than fixed annuities. Most of the returns I've seen out past 10, 12, 15 years are better than the fixed rates that were available at that time, better renewal provisions. So keep an open mind, look at both of them, and I'm going to get back to what you can do if you can't decide between the two here just in a bit. Then we had John Ballmer on again, and I remember when I was talking, you know, he'd been on a couple of podcasts and people really liked it. This was when he was visiting me in Montana. He's sitting on the patio of the big house down by the lake, and he sat down there because I didn't want to try to set up a dual shot. Didn't know if it would work. And I asked him, I said, do you have anybody who's done everything you said? And he said, yeah. And I have people who didn't do anything I said. And so he compared two portfolios and looked at the benefits of what benefits he provided by getting into cash at certain times and how much money he had saved them in losses. I think when we recorded this, the S&P was down 25% or something like that. Let's see, that was July 2nd. So we're like end of June. Yeah. I mean, we were near that bottom for the year, right? So around June 30th. So the S&P was off 23% at the time, I think. Pretty powerful. So you want to look at professional management. I've had a number of clients ask me again, you can talk to John, but I want to qualify you first. He's a busy guy. He's got a family, and we're going to have him here for the last episode of the year. But for right now, you got to talk to me first and maybe, but I've had several clients who are happy with what he's done and he's getting good results. So that's a little look at how he does things. All right. And then back to the interest rates and the index annuities and all that stuff. This is a fairly popular one, splitting annuities. And that came out on August 11th. So I was getting ready to go on my hunting trip, splitting annuities. This is one thing when you can't decide between a fixed annuity and an index annuity. If you say, oh, I kind of like the upside, but I like that guarantee, go 50-50, right? You can do it within an index annuity because they all have a fixed account. And a lot of people will buy that index annuity, put half of it in the fixed and half of it in an index account. You're guaranteed a return on the half that's fixed. Now, if a straight up fixed annuity, not the fixed account, but a fixed annuity, typically pay a little bit higher rate than the fixed account in an index annuity. So some people just say, hey, split it up. I don't mind two contracts. Let's put half of it at that higher rate. We'll put half of it and we can play with the indexes. So a lot of people jumped on that and thought it was a great idea. A couple people who had bought a fixed annuity, they're like, you know what? You're right. I got a piece of this. I'm going to take another piece. And some people did 70% in the fixed and 30% fixed annuity and 30% in the index annuity. It could go the other way. A lot of people went 50-50 down the middle, but it's a really good idea. And you want to keep the free withdrawal provisions in mind. You also want to make sure you're set up to do all the planning things you want to do, whether it be income, required minimum distributions, Roth conversions, all that stuff. So that's the context of why you do it. This is just talking about the product itself. Oh yeah, this one was interesting. With the increase in interest rates, that was my one last week, insurance companies got flooded with new business. I have one in particular I'm dealing with right now that is 1 month behind evaluating new applications. 1 month behind. It's frustrating for me because a lot of people are changing their mind. One thing that happened is throughout the year, which I talked about before, is a lot of people would get their application and it might be sitting in queue to be evaluated 2-3 weeks later, depending on the company. Some were better at it than others, a lot dependent on how competitive they were trying to be. But by the time their application was being evaluated, they'd see a higher rate from another company. Just kept going, oh, let's switch over. I did a lot of work doing that. So I sold probably three times as many annuities as I actually put in force. And that's one of the reasons why I try to keep a level head about it. But some of it, I felt like I was chasing my tail at times. Be patient. They're good rates. I actually think we're going to see those rates settle a little bit. So the best part of it might have passed. I do not know that for sure. I'll probably have John offer his opinion on it. And that's going to be, you know, another week or so we'll have to look at it to see what happens. But insurance companies are busy because everybody's jumping in. Maybe you should too. Then I did this one because I thought it was really funny. I was talking to the guy who likes Vegas as much as I do. And I always like where it freezes the photo in the video. Vegas odds, stock market, and annuities, just kind of a little math lesson and kind of a reality check for people that understand. Talk about how I like playing video poker. Most of the time, it's not for money at all. And the rest of the time, it's really not that much money. But professional traders and gamblers know they've got to take drawdowns in order to hit it big and make the big money. So when you look at the Vegas odds and what they advertise for a payout when you walk into the casino is not necessarily what you're going to walk out with in your pocket. And there's a reason it works that way. It entices you to go throw a 20 into the machine. And they know that that's on average, that money's theirs when it goes in. It's not a whole lot different than what happens in the stock market. You got high frequency trading, professionals, hedge funds that are all swinging the market around. It's really a long position. You got to understand if you're going to stay in there, like losing money is part of the deal. If you're in there, you got to take it in stride and keep that perspective because it's going to happen. Okay, so we are, that was first part of September, and then we did the last one that I've got written down, and then we're on the final page. I'll just kind of talk about it as I wrap this up. So let's see, we had stock market head fake. That was John Ballmer again because we saw a little rally, and I'm going to go back and look at it. So that came out on September 9th, which means I was elk hunting, so we recorded it well before that. I don't know exactly when. So he called it a head fake because he thought it was a false rally. Well, let's see if he is right. So let's say we did it on September 2nd, August 30th right here. So we'd had come back off the lows into this, and then we sharpened it right up here on the 12th. Try to time it knowing that it's going to come out about a week later. So that's where it was. He considered that to be a head fake, and I would say he is probably. So between these two points, like the high and the low, is about a 5% difference. It's a nice run-up in the market. I'll be damned if he didn't just about nail it within a few days. Anyway, for what it's worth, I thought that's a valuable thing to add to the podcast. Tell me. If you disagree, let me know, right? And I'll tell John. He'll feel bad about himself. Yeah, I went elk hunting, obviously. I talked about that more than enough. State insurance guarantee funds. People want to talk about the protection components. I thought that the Hurricane Ian in Florida was a good example. Annuities for protection, that kind of talks about all the different types of annuities, what the specific purpose is, and how you do that. So that was October. Annuities and greed don't mix, kind of talk about rate chasing. Husbands, wives, and annuities, be on the same page with your spouse. If one of you has more experience than the other, maybe defer and involve like the less experienced one in. They're more malleable. I talked about my fishing trips in Alaska. How to get the wife that doesn't know how to fish to outfish her husband who thinks he's a great fisherman because she had no prior experience. I could help her and she could focus on the specific things. That guy would try to take his bass fishing expertise and turn it into catching rainbows in Alaska. Two things have nothing to do with each other. And he wouldn't listen because he thinks he's a pro. She would listen. She's more malleable. So defer to the spouse, involve each other in the decisions. And with fishing, husbands and wives, typically the husband's a fisherman, not always, but typically. In finance, I know no matter who makes the money in a marriage, one person handles it and it's kind of a 50-50 deal. So sometimes it's the wife, sometimes it's the husband. Hey, no, one of them says, I don't want anything to do with it. You handle it, right? And then a hot button topic, cryptocurrency and retirement. These are all fresh. These all came out in the last few weeks. So there's nothing new on that. Secondary market annuities, that was the last one. Just to look at kind of some of the things that we started with Annuity Straight Talk, what the contracts are, how they work, all those things. Don't need to go into a lot of it. That's right up at the top. You can go look at that right away. And the big reasons why I don't sell those anymore or choose not to work with them in large part, there's things I have to do from a servicing standpoint, and that's necessary. But again, in case you run into it and you see it out there, know that I am as much of an expert in that area as anyone else. So that has been a recap of 2022. Lots of stuff. I think I probably pointed out maybe 15 of them. There's 44 available. Again, most but not all have a newsletter that goes with them if you like to read it. Same title, identical title. Go to the newsletter page, search bar, type in the title or a couple of keywords. It'll pop up. It's been a great year. I appreciate it. Again, thank you so much to everyone who's given me the opportunity to help you, given me the ideas. I'm not going to do a pod or not going to release anything next week. It'll be Christmas Eve, the day I send the newsletter. So I'm not taking that time off because I'm getting everything ready for next year, but I'm going to give you guys a break from my content. And I hope you guys all have a Merry Christmas. Anyway, I feel blessed to be doing what I'm doing. It's been a tough year for me personally, but this gave me a great outlet to continue working hard. And if I look back at 44 podcasts and 40 newsletters, man, that's 84 pieces of content. They all take a fair bit of time to put together, not to mention all the other stuff that I do. And I really hope it helps. Go ahead and give me a comment, like the podcast, YouTube, or your favorite podcast platform. Comment on the website below any post. I'll be back in a couple of weeks on New Year's Eve with something with John. And then we're going to jump into 2023 and give you guys a couple of things to look out for, things you can do to put your financial house in order. Anyway, Merry Christmas again to everyone. Thank you so much for a wonderful year. I truly appreciate it. And I look forward to having a great 2023 with all of you. Okay, have a great day. Bye.
You have been listening to Annuity Straight Talk. The preceding information is for informational and educational purposes only and does not represent tax, legal, or investment advice. The views expressed by guests on this program are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of Annuity Straight Talk or its partners. No information presented today should be acted upon without meeting with the qualified and licensed professional. It is important that you read all insurance contract disclosures carefully before making a purchase decision. Guarantees are based on the financial strength and claims paying ability of the insurance company.